It is good to see each of you this morning. I'm thankful also for the visitors. It's good to have the Mehtas here, some with the Johnson family, and several with the Butler family, and Denny's wife is with him this morning. We're just so thankful that each one of you is here. In fact, it's refreshing to hear the sound of a child. Did you notice that? I'm glad especially that Allie Grace is here this morning. I get tired of all you old people all the time, and it's just good to hear the sound of a child. You know, our announcements here at Madison County are probably a little longer than most anywhere that you will attend, and I'm thankful for that. A congregation without any announcements is a dead congregation. We talk a lot about the need for love and the love that we have in the group here, and I think one of the reasons for that is that we share with each other, and I appreciate what Charlie does, and Terry helps behind the scene in getting announcements ready, and this is an important part of our coming together to keep in touch with one another, and I appreciate that. The attitude that you have toward the Bible will determine basically the actions that you have in life. When Paul had finished his sermon on Mars Hill, as recorded in Acts 17, a sermon that's described as being on the subject of the resurrection, it is said that there were at least three different reactions to the sermon. Some mocked at it. Some said, we'll hear thee again on this matter. And some believed what he said. There was just one message, one preacher, one occasion, and yet three different reactions. The different reactions did not come because of the speaker or the subject, but because of the circumstances and basically the attitude that was there on the part of each of those who responded. The attitude that you have toward the Bible will determine greatly what you believe and what you do in life. It might be good to review for just a moment the lesson we studied last Sunday morning in order to serve as a foundation for the one we're studying today. We made 5 points last week on the subject, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. The Bible is the revealed Word of God. The Bible is the complete Word of God. The Bible is the final Word of God. And the Bible is the exact Word of God. I believe all 5 of those statements. And I think you do too. Yet not every person does. When some people pick up this book, they do not think of it in the same way that you and I think of it. There are different attitudes toward the Bible. There are those who believe that this book is a hoax. It's sort of hard for you and me to understand how anybody could believe that, but people do. Some even suggest that those who claim to believe in God have put this book together to give them something to teach, to show what they believe, even though there's no foundation for it. That they just out of necessity had to come up with these stories, like the story of the creation or the flood or the life of Jesus or whatever, and that they put it together in a book in order to try to defend themselves and believe that it's just a hoax. Others go a little bit farther than that and say, well, it's just a series of stories that were legends that were handed down. Parents began to tell their children certain things, and then those children told those to their children, and maybe added something to it, added something to each story, and maybe added stories to it. And so over a period of time, there's just a bunch of legends that have been put together and put into a book and preserved, and that's all it is just a series of stories that have been handed down. You'd be surprised how many people sort of believe that, even some who would not admit it. Then there are those who believe that the Bible is a good book, sort of along the line of some things that we studied 3 weeks ago when we talked about the fact that the Bible is a history book, it is a book of literature, it is a set of blueprints, it is a love letter. And particularly on that point of being good literature, there are many today who would say that this is an excellent literature book. You'll find it even in the library. And you'll find stories in this that have to do, that might be sort of like short stories in other books. You'll find poetry, you'll find places like Proverbs, that's a list of important sayings that could be helpful to us in life. You'll find in it biographies, not only of Jesus, particularly in the New Testament, but many different ones in the Old Testament. You'll find history that has to do with the children of Israel, and even history that's mentioned about other groups of people. And so if somebody says, it's an excellent book, it's a wonderful book, it's just a book of literature. And when they say that, they are saying that this is the work of man, only the work of man, and does not go any higher than that. Then there are those today who say that this is a book that was applicable only to those in the past. That takes two forms. There are those, and I would count myself one of these, who believe the Old Testament was to the Jewish nation, to the children of Israel. And already we have shown, and will in some lessons that will follow, that we're not under that old law today, that was just to the Jewish people and Christ nailed it to the cross. But there are those today who go one step further than that, who would say that the New Testament is just a message to those of the past. It is true that the last book in the New Testament was written somewhere around the turn from the first to the second century. Probably the year 96 was when the book of Revelation was written. It is true that there has been no new revelation given for the last 1900 plus years. And so someone says, you see, that means that this is not up to date. This is not modern. This is just to those who lived at that time, and they would even in some instances take a cultural approach to it. That many of these things that are said in here had to do with the culture of that time, and they do not apply to us today. We've had so many changes take place in the history of man and in what's being done by mankind that those things that are in the Bible do not apply to us. They're just a message to the past. And we ought to study it just for that. In fact, I've heard people say that we need something that's more challenging for us today than what's in the Bible. The Bible's not up to date. It's not as modern as it ought to be. It doesn't challenge us like we ought to be challenged. We need something that's more challenging. And if I hear someone say that, I always come back with two ideas. Jesus said, "Be ye perfect," meaning complete. Give me a greater challenge than that. And he said, "Take this message to the whole world, to every creature." Give me a greater challenge than that. But there are those who think that it's just a message to the past. Then you'll find people today who will say, "I believe the Bible is inspired, but." Anytime someone gives you a statement and then puts that little word B-U-T in it, let your ears perk up and listen. Because what they're going to say after that word "but" will really show you what they believe more than what they said before it. "I believe the Bible is inspired, but..." And I have found that this idea takes one of five approaches. The first one is the statement, I believe the Bible is inspired. I believe the writers were inspired, but they were only inspired to a higher level of intelligence than they normally would have had. In other words, they were given a little greater ability. It's still the word of man. It was still written by man, but they were inspired to a higher level of intelligence. The second person says, I believe that they were inspired as far as the ideas were concerned, but not inspired as far as the words were concerned. I believe the Bible is inspired, but it was just the ideas that were inspired, and then man used his own judgment in each case to put those ideas into words, and so we really don't have the Word of God. We just have man writing about the ideas that God gave to them to use. Is that what the Bible is? And then the third point in this section of I believe the Bible's inspired, but someone will say, I believe the Bible is inspired, but to varying degrees. Now let me show you what's meant by that usually. Usually that person would go on to say, I think what Jesus wrote or said and was recorded is more important than what Paul and Peter wrote. In other words, that which would be in a red letter edition, that which is in red is to a higher degree of inspiration than that which is in black. There are degrees of inspiration. Now, let me pose a question. If there are degrees of inspiration, who's going to determine what's what? Who's going to determine what's to a higher degree and a lower degree? And the apparent answer is each individual would have to do that, which means that a person is setting himself on the throne as God and is determining what he believes is right and wrong, or what he believes is good, better, or best, and what he's going to use in his life and what he's not going to use. I believe it is inspired, but there are different degrees of inspiration. Then someone else says, I believe that the Bible is inspired, but I believe that it is only a part of what was inspired. And you'll find that approach taken by those who believe, for example, in the Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Doctrines and Covenants, associated with that particular group of people. I've even had people say to me personally, perhaps you have too, yes, oh, I believe the Bible is inspired, but that's not enough. You need this other book here, particularly in this case, the Book of Mormon. You need the Book of Mormon to go along with the Bible in order to have the completely inspired message of God and in order to understand exactly what He teaches and wants you to do. On one occasion when that was said to me, I suggested, may I ask a question? Yes. I said, my grandfathers and grandmothers never knew that there was a Book of Mormon that existed. They never heard about it. They only had this book. Are you telling me that they didn't know enough to be saved through this book? Are you telling me that if they took the Bible and went by it, since they didn't know this other book ever existed, you mean they didn't have enough to be saved according to the Bible? Haven't gotten an answer to that yet. But isn't that a logical question? If the Bible is just a part of God's inspiration and not enough for us to know what the truth is and know what to do? Then there's a fifth approach that's taken on this point that it's inspired, but, and that is that it contains the inspired message of God. And this is perhaps almost restating what we said a moment ago, that there are different levels of inspiration. But the person who says this, oh yes, I believe that this is inspired, But I don't believe every word in it is inspired. I just believe that it contains the inspiration of God's message. One person in a northern state a few years ago was known to say, "I've taken my Bible and I've gone through it and I have read it word for word, and I have marked those passages that I believe are inspired and not marked those that are uninspired." Now here again, who's on the throne if that's the approach? Do I have the right? Do you have the right to take this book and start through and say, "Well, you know, I believe that's a good point there. I think that's good. I'm going to mark that. I believe that must be from God. That must be inspired. But now this other story here, I just don't believe that's inspired. I believe the Bible is inspired, but it only contains God's message." It's rather interesting to hear someone say, "I believe it is inspired, but..." And you can see the different approaches that are taken. Yes, there are those who say this is a hoax. There are those who would say that it's good literature. There are those who would say it's God's message, but only to those of the past and doesn't apply to us today. And then there are those who would say it is inspired, but just a portion of it or not all of it, or to a higher degree, or varying degrees, or a higher level of intellect. And then after having noticed those, there is the point that some people believe that it is the inspired Word of God. That it is the, as sometimes stated, the verbally inspired Word of God. And I make no bones about it, I had rather have a translation that says in the front that they tried to translate this from the original language word to word instead of idea to idea. And as we noticed in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, where he said there, "You didn't receive it as the word of men, but you received it as it is in truth the word of God." The inspired Word of God. As I've said before, I know that this is just a translation, and I don't think that there is a perfect translation anywhere because it was translated by man. In this version that I'm using, there are some places that are questionable in translation, not in inspiration, but in translation. But never a passage that's questioned but that somewhere else in this book it tells us exactly what the truth is in a place that's never been questioned. And so when you add it all up, it comes to this: I believe this is God's Word, His inspired Word, His completely inspired Word. And that anybody who will take this book, the Bible, and study it and learn what God has said, rightly divide it, obey it, and apply it, can go to heaven. I believe anybody that goes by this book will go to heaven. Sometimes when I'm talking with people and they say, "Well, oh, you believe only you and your little group's going to heaven," I'll say, "Now, wait a minute. I think I believe what you say you believe. I believe anybody that goes by this book will go to heaven." Now, I don't believe we can get different things out of it and go our own ways and interpret it our own interpretation. It's not of private interpretation, 2 Peter chapter 1. But I honestly believe that anybody who will take that book and go by it can go to heaven. Here's our problem. We have to be untaught sometimes before we can be taught. There's not a one of us who looks at everything completely objectively. I have a hard time doing that. I tend to look at everything from a subjective standpoint. And if I'm not careful, I will not be as open and honest and sincere as I ought to be when I'm looking at something. Because sometimes I've already made up my mind. As one fellow said, "I've made up my mind, don't confuse me with the facts." few years ago, I had a friend in Henderson. We'd been discussing a biblical subject off and on for a long time. One day I said this to him, and I want to tell you this in order to say it to you, to each of us. I said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go home, and we mentioned the subject he was studying. I said, I want you to forget everything you've ever heard me say. He'd been hearing me preach for a long time. I said, I want you to forget everything you've ever heard anybody else say. I want you to forget everything you've ever heard your friends and relatives say. I want you to go home and get your Bible and sit down and look through that Bible and find every place you can find that discusses that specific subject. You see, one of our biggest problems is we get off the subject. I said, I want you to take that subject and you go through your Bible and you find what the Bible says, forget what I've said and what everybody else has said, and you do exactly what the Bible says. It wasn't long until he obeyed the gospel and became a Christian. I'd like to issue that challenge to all of us today. We have different backgrounds, those of us that are in this assembly this morning. Some of us grew up in the church. Some of us grew up in other sets of circumstances. Sometimes because of that, we have difficulty listening and understanding one another. But here's one thing of which I am sure. If you will take the attitude that this is God's inspired word, that it is God's message from Him to us, and you will open this book and look at what the Bible has to say on whatever subject you're considering, I am convinced that you, that I, can learn the truth on that subject. You've heard me say several times, and I'll say it again, attitude determines altitude. Your attitude, my attitude, one of the most important things in life. I don't believe we will ever understand the Bible as we should until we have the right attitude toward what it is and what it means to us. Folks, it is not a hoax. It is not just a book of literature. It is not just a message to the past. It is not inspired but. However, it is inspired and. It will give you everything you need to become a Christian and to live the Christian life. The attitude we have toward the Bible will determine what we do and how we act. If you have not become a Christian and need to do that, I believe the Bible teaches the need of faith. Without it, we can't please God. The need of penitence. We can't live in sin and please God. The need of being baptized for the remission of sins, not because there's any power in the water, but because that's what God said do, to contact the power that's in the blood that takes care of our sins. And then do our best to live the Christian life. Not a perfect life, we can't do that, but a faithful life, continuing to receive the forgiveness of God through the blood of Christ. If you haven't done that, come. And if you're in the process of still studying these subjects, keep your Bible open and study to see what God has said.